Hello, sports fans, and welcome to another edition of Yesterday Sports on the Sports History Network. And make sure to check out sportshistorynetwork.com/giveaways. I have two signed books I'm giving away. One is titled No Nonsense, Old School Weight Training, and the other is Reliving 1970s Old School Football.
In this episode of the Football's History Rewind, part number 48, we discuss the rules revisions of 1921 regarding punting, holding, fair catches, and more, and their impact on today's game, as well as many more legendary stories, all coming up in just a moment.
This is the Pigskin Daily History Dispatch, a podcast that covers the anniversaries of American football events throughout history on a day-to-day basis. Your host, Darren Hayes, is podcasting from America's North Shore to bring you the memories of the gridiron one day at a time. So as we come out of the tunnel of the Sports History Network, let's take the field and go no huddle through the portal of positive gridiron history with PigskinDispatch.com.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hello, my football friends. This is Darren Hayes of PigskinDispatch.com. Welcome once again to the Pigpen, your portal to positive football history. And we are in Football History Rewind, part number 48. We have covered a lot of ground here in football history as we're going through it year by year. And 1921 was a big year. We had six national champions, and we've talked about four of them so far. Next episode 49, part 49 of the series, we're going to be talking about the final two, the Cal Golden Bears and the Lafayette Leopards. So stay tuned for that in a couple days. But today, we're going to talk about the rest of the rules revisions, and there were some kind of more important ones regarding punting and holding and fair catches that really affected the game of today. Now, the type of football that took place over 85 to 100 years ago is very interesting for the person of this era to look back upon and to just see how far the game has come since the 1920s. Now, then again, there are some items perused in 1921, Spalding's official football guide, that are worded almost to the letter with the corresponding rules in the 21st century. And the football rules definitely fit the old adage, the more things change, the more they stay the same. The last segment of the series gave a very interesting perspective to the rule of 1921 as sketches of legal and illegal plays from the Spalding's guide were posted with the permission of the NCAA as discussed in Spalding. And this edition of the Football History Rewind will continue the discussion and present even more of the over 100-year-old hand sketches to the reader. Now, first of all, we have a fair catch sketch, figures number 9 and 10. And these can be seen on PigskinDispatch.com under this Football History Rewind part number 48. And these are the do's and the don'ts of a fair catch signal. It's one of those rules and signals that has survived the test of time. And the 1921 version of the fair catch signal has the key elements of prior to an attempted catch, quote, unquote, and then, quote, the hand clearly above the player's head, unquote, just as figure number 9 shows. The corresponding NFHS rules 2-9-3 reads very similar to its ancient predecessor in the NCAA rulebook. Now it says, quote, a valid fair catch signal is extending and the lateral waving of one arm at full length above the head by any member of the receiving team, end quote. Sounds very similar to that 1921 rule. The similarities of the rules are many, although in modern times the arm must be waved. It simply had to be raised back in 1921. And figure number 10 shows an example of an invalid signal in 1921. And the same signal, if used today, would also be considered invalid. It sort of has the figure standing there and is almost doing a hello, elbow bent severely, hand up in the air, not above his head, not even with his head. Illegal, invalid fair catch signal. I'm sorry, illegal fair catch signal, not an invalid one. Illegal fair catch signal. Just like it is in today's game, should draw a penalty flag because it's not a valid signal. Now, the subject of tripping came up in the figure number 11 shown on PigskinDispatch.com in the article of History Football History Rewind, part number 48. is right from the 1921 guide from Spalding at Dunham Streets. What is considered a trip in that day? According to the 1921 rules, it was illegal for an opponent to obstruct a player with his leg, hand, or arm below his knee. A trip back then basically is still the same as today in the National Football Federation rules and the NCAA rules, which say, quote, tripping is the use of a lower leg or foot to obstruct an opponent who is not the runner below the knee, end quote. Almost identical. The rule really hasn't changed to high school level from what it was 100 some years ago in the college level. The newer version also calls it the use of hand below the knee to obstruct an opponent without the ball is a trip, since it's reclassified this illegal act as a hold. It may even be an illegal block below the waist. So a couple other variations there to might make the penalty even more severe, change the whole category altogether. So it might not be a trip. As a side note, in figure number 11, it's interesting to see the description that says, quote, the player wearing the sweater, end quote, in reference to pointing out that particular player in the sketch. Of course, our players today do not wear the sweaters. We call them the jerseys, or the uniform jersey. So, but they did wear sweaters back then for that extra padding that they provided. Figure number 12 from 1921, the legal block. Well, or was it a legal block? The next illustrated example from this antiquity is an interesting one indeed when compared to the modern rules of the game. Figure number 12 clearly shows and states that the offensive player is initiating contact on the opponent's thigh. By today's standards, this is mainly an illegal starting point for the block, except in certain cases. Now, the National Federation of High School Sports, NFHS, version of free blocking zone allows players who are clearly on their team's line at the snap and within the defined boundaries of the free blocking zone, which is basically a 6-yard by 8-yard box centered around the ball, may block below the waist on an opponent who is also clearly in the boundaries of the free blocking zone at the snap on the initial charge after the snap. The other is the instance of, there are a few instances where player A can initiate contact below an opponent's waist, such as the thigh. This is the subject of holding. The final illustration on the segment number 14, figure 14, describes an example of illegal use of hand and arm by a player in 1921. This middle player depicted in the sketch is grasping the jersey, or the sweater back then, of an opponent in an effort to obstruct him from getting to the runner. According to the enforcement of that era, this action would penalize the offending team 15 yards for the illegal holding action. A hold, by today's standards in high school, college, and pro, is a slightly lesser penalty of 10 yards, but in 1921, it would be illegal nonetheless, just 5 yards difference in the penalty enforcement. It's evident that all of the illustrations presented in this segment and in the one prior, that the basics of the football rules were in place, you know, 10 decades ago, a century ago. The strategies, equipment, and overall appearance of the game may have changed over time, but the basic fundamentals of legality have remained fairly constant for these 100 or so years since 1921. So very interesting indeed. Take a look at the figures over on pigskindispatch.com, and you'll find it very interesting too. The players, of course, are dressed more like somebody going out for a Sunday walk in the fall, but they are football players there with the gear of the time. So hope you enjoyed this little bit of history. We'll cover more every day, just like we do. 2 days from now, we're going to cover that last of the 1921 season, those two co-champions, the final two co-champions of 21, with Cal and Lafayette. So till then, have a great football day, and till tomorrow, have a great gridiron day.
Peeking up at the clock, the time's running down. We're going to go into victory formation, take a knee, and let this baby run out. Thanks for joining us. We'll see you back tomorrow for the next podcast.
We invite you to check out our website, pigskindispatch.com, not only to see the daily football history, but to experience positive football with our many articles on the good people of the game, as well as our own football comic strip, Cleat Marks Comics. Pigskindispatch.com is also on social media outlets, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and don't forget the Pigskin Dispatch YouTube channel to get all of your positive football news and history. Special thanks to the talents of Mike and Gene Monroe, as well as Jason Neff, for letting us use their music during our podcast.
This podcast is part of the Sports History Network, your headquarters for the yesteryear of your favorite sport. You can learn more at sportshistorynetwork.com.
Hey there, football fans. This is Ross. the host of the Pigskin Tales podcast. I just need a few moments of your time to talk about the host of the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, Darren Hayes. He's expanded the Pigpen to search out information on the history of all team sports. It's a quest to find out about the competitors, teams, and places chronicled throughout athletic history through the uniforms and gear the participants used and wore. And he is taking you, the listener, with him on this educational journey to preserve sports history on the Sports Jersey Dispatch, found here on the Sports History Network. His newest podcast, called Jersey Dispatch, is all based on the jerseys that all the greats used to wear. You can find Darren Hayes and the Pigskin Dispatch podcast, as well as Jersey Dispatch, on your favorite podcast provider multiple times each week. So remember that, Darren Hayes, the host of the Pigskin Dispatch and Jersey Dispatch podcasts. It's found right here on the Sports History Network.